Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the government's mental health policy. Here's the minister.
This week, I just want to focus on mental health policy from the government. So we have heard a lot on other media from mental health NGOs and former practitioners saying that there are a lot of problems with the existing mental health system and it is severely underfunded. But you said on Tuesday on RNZ that mental health services are already improving. So what, I just want to know, why do you say this?
Because that's what people in the sector are telling me, but it's also consistent with the additional investment that we're putting into the sector. We made the commitment in the 2019 budget to put $1.9 billion over 4 years into the sector. $1.1 billion of that is health money. The rest is goes to other departments and agencies dealing with the social determinants of health, so putting more money into employment, into housing, into corrections and justice to deal with issues there to do with mental health. Of the $1.1 billion, we're due to have spent by the 30th of June this year $350 million. As at the end of last year, we'd spent roughly $280 million. I know that the big issue that the review of mental health conducted in 2018 talked about was the lack of support and services for mild to moderate mental health issues. That's been the priority. And as at the end of last year, we put in nearly $100 million out of $145 million due to be spent by the 30th of June this year. That stuff is starting to make a difference. There are literally thousands of people each month getting access to talk therapies and that kind of low-level intervention that previously they weren't getting access to.
Well, we're 18 months into the four-year program implementing He Ara Oranga recommendations. Are you confident that the government can complete all the recommendations by the end of the four-year program?
Yes, I am. Bearing in mind that some of them are related to workforce issues, workforce development issues, so there's a question about taking people who are existing health practitioners or doing health disciplines who have the opportunity to have some additional training to enable them to take up mental health roles. Then there are people who, you know, we've got to start from scratch from to get into roles as well, clinical psychologists, psychiatrists and others. And of course that's, you know, multi-year kind of program to develop. But there are, you know, there are more people employed in the mental health sector, engaged in the mental health sector than there were 18 months ago. We know that at the acute end, so people who are really unwell, we have to upgrade and in some cases rebuild facilities around hospitals. We've had four proposals to do that. Five have been approved. Five proposals, four have been approved, and four of those four that have been approved are in their construction design phase. So it will take the full 4 years and possibly even 5 years to fully see out and realise the benefits that, you know, that we've made the decision to invest in.
But out of the 38 recommendations that the government accepted it will implement from He Ara Oranga, how many have been implemented so far? Is there a number on this?
Well, they've all been started. I mean, you could say the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has been established. That was up and running from the 9th of February this year. A lot of them, there's recommendations about kind of process issues, the long-term stuff, and then there's the investment stuff to turn it around, put more money into the system, a net addition to the system to ensure that there are more services not previously available are actually provided. All the work on all the recommendations has started, but the nature of some of them is that they are long term, so they're not going to be concluded at this particular point. You wouldn't expect in a 4 year program for everything to be done within 18 months.
Right, then after the four-year program, the government so far hasn't got a long-term program after that. Could we see a plan for that?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, a lot of the additional money that has gone into the system and will go into the system over that four-year program will be yeah, it would be what they call baseline. So it'll become a permanent feature of the funding for the system, because it has to, because there's clearly a need for those services. They weren't there before they put in place. In terms of the broader long-term plan, you know, both the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission and the outgoing Mental Health Commission, it says there needs to be like a long-term 10-year plan. Like, that work is underway on that. That's a comprehensive piece of work because it needs to involve the engagement of the sector. So it'll take a while to pull that together. We gave priority to making sure that there were additional services available that previously weren't there. That's what we've done with what we call the access and choice. So those people needing access to talk therapies for mild to moderate mental health issues, we gave that priority because that was stuff that was desperately needed. It wasn't there before. We've got that in place. It's continuing to roll out. The long-term stuff, of course, that needs to happen, and that is happening now too, but you know, that takes a while to get around the sector and get people's input into it.
Speaking of the Mental Health Foundation, they have claimed that Ministry of Health officials told them to not to criticise the government because it accepts money, and in particular, there is a clause in their contract with the ministry saying there is a no surprise clause that neither partner can criticise each other without discussing the matter of concerns. So what do you say? Do you have anything to comment on that?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a beat up there. The Mental Health Foundation did make a statement that was critical of the government. That's entirely their prerogative. They're an independent organisation. Certainly as Minister, I've never taken the view that just because you receive government funding, you can't criticise the government if you think it's justified in doing so. I understand a ministry official contacted the Mental Health Foundation after the ministry had received the statement, but before it had gone public, and had a conversation about it. I can understand how that was interpreted as some sort of giving them an impression that they shouldn't say it. I'm satisfied from my discussions with the Ministry of Health officials that that wasn't either what happened or what was intended. But nevertheless, I still think there's, you know, it's legitimate to ask the question about whether that particular call should have taken place at that time anyway. Nevertheless, it is what it is. I don't think anybody was suggesting that the Mental Health Foundation should not criticise the government if that is what they wished to do. The clause in the funding agreement that they've got, that goes back many years, I mean, the National Party put all these in the funding agreement some time ago, simply says that, you know, one should contact the other before going public with a criticism, not that they shouldn't criticise. So there's never been any question about stopping an organisation like the Mental Health Foundation criticising the government if they wish to do so.
Would you stop including these clauses in future contracts to avoid something like this from happening again?
Oh, I think to the extent there's a no surprises element to the clause, I think that's not a bad thing to have. It just means that everybody's talking to each other at the right time. Things happen, you know, for organisations that are funded by government. Likewise, within government, things happen and that you know are going to be made public, and you do want to make sure that everybody, if only as a matter of courtesy, knows you know, issues that could hit the media and would otherwise take counterparts by surprise. So from that point of view, I don't think there's a problem with it. As I say, the clause doesn't stop anybody criticising, you know, one side or the other, and that's as it should be.
Okay, and going on, still staying on mental health, your predecessor, Chris Hipkins, announced last July that $25 million will be spent on tertiary mental health services, but so far only $2 million are allocated for the 2020 to 2021 financial year, and this is more like directed to Māori and Pacific students only. So why was there a change in approach, and why did it go directly to Māori and Pacific students only?
The change in approach was how the ministry goes around letting contracts for that or contracting those particular services. The plan always was there was a growing level of funding. It's $2 million in the first year, I think 5 in the second, 8 in the third, and 10 in the final year of the funding package. So it was always going to ramp up over time. On implementation, it was accepted that actually the most in-need group of tertiary students are typically Māori and Pacifica. The greatest number of them those in the branches of Te Pukenga, that is to say the Polytech system, and so it was agreed that an approach would be taken to make sure that those services were rolled out within the Polytech network, the Te Pukenga network, first up. The requirement is that the first services are available by the end of the second quarter this year, or the last, you know, the end of the financial year, which is the 30th of June. I'm very confident that everything is on track to make sure that that first round of funding, the $2 million, will be spent and services will be rolled out within the agreed deadline.
Right. Well, that is definitely important. How far are university, are mental health services based at our main universities going to get funded?
That'll be next, and I understand that the work is well underway dealing with the universities on making sure that the additional funding that's available to them, that there are additional services that have been agreed to and contracted for. That work is underway, but that is unlikely to come on stream until, you know, later this year.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.